again. The last nine chapters of the book of John are centered around the week of the crucifixion. I'd like to read some verses from those chapters. And as I do, listen to the words, experience the actions, and grasp hold of the attitude of Christ. John 13 begins. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John 14 begins. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. John 17 begins. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes in heaven, he said, Father, my hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. John 18 begins. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden, which he himself entered with his disciples. In the fourth verse of 18, Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things that were coming upon him, he went forth and said to them, whom do you seek? In the 28th verse of 18, they led Jesus, therefore, before Caiaphas. In 19:5, Jesus, therefore, came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. John 19:17, and they took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross. John 19:28, and after this, Jesus, knowing all things had already been accomplished, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And then John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, gave up his spirit. We teach, we preach, we believe, we can prove that man is a free moral agent. This means that we have the ability, and man has the ability, to choose between good and evil, right and wrong, obedience or disobedience to God. Jesus, in Philippians 1:27, tells us that Jesus took on the likeness of a man. John 1:14 tells us that he became flesh. So therefore, Jesus, too, being a man, had full choice. So look at those passages again and notice the actions that he took. He knew the outcome. He understood the consequences. He comprehended the pain. Yet in every instance, in each situation, on every occasion, he made the choice. Willingly, almost eagerly, he made the choice that led to death, a very painful death. From the crowns of thorns, to the scourge, to the nails, to the cross, he made the choice, not for his benefit, but for mine and for yours. The poet wrote, the diadem of pain which sliced your gentle face, three spikes piercing flesh and wood, to hold you in your place. The need for blood I understand, your sacrifice I embrace, but the bitter sponge, the cutting spear, the spit upon your face? Did it have to be a cross? Did a kinder death exist than 6 hours hanging between life and death, all spurred by a betrayer's kiss? O Father, you pose, heart stilled at what could be. I'm sorry to ask, but I long to know. Did you do this for me? As we examine the deeds written in Scripture so true, the answer rings out. I did it for you. I did it just for you. Father, as we come before you today, we come before you to honor and to remember Christ. Father, we understand the pains of life at times. But Father, to understand, to realize, and to make the choice of the pains of death is a whole nother concept, Father, for us to try to comprehend. But Father, as we look at Christ and we see his life, we see how willingly he went through these things on our behalf. We are so humble. But Father, we're also grateful because it is the way that we may be redeemed back to you, to have the relationship that you desire and that we desire. And so, Father, as we partake of these emblems today, may we remember the body and the blood of Christ, for it's in his name that we pray.